Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and today we have the lovely Marie Hamilton.
There's this little window in my day, like right when I wake up, and I like thinking about it as if my head is still asleep, but my heart is awake. It's kind of cheesy, but but it's definitely something I experienced. Have you ever?
Yeah, I think I can really relate to that. Because I find when you're in that dream space, your ways of thinking is so much more connected to your emotions.
Exactly. Yeah. The rational mind is just sleeping, resting. And like you said, I feel much more connected to my emotions in those moments. And everything is just felt so much more strongly. And I often think about people who are no longer around for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And when I was writing this song, I kind of had my dad in mind. And my dad passed when I was 7 months old. So this song is a bit of a good morning, I love you song. You, though it breaks my heart, you're no longer here. I want you to know that I'm doing just fine. And every day I try to find my way back home to you.
Right?
The suspense.
Let's just take a collective breath just right now.
I feel like I started breathing slower as I was being lulled by that song. Aww. It's so beautiful and it's so touching, especially knowing more about it and why you wrote it. How much of that do you, like when you play that, how present do you feel your dad is?
Oh, very present. It's actually... Yeah, I mean, I haven't been performing for that long. It's still a pretty new thing for me to be on a stage sharing songs I wrote, especially the songs I wrote part. That's like the most intimidating part. But
how long has it been
that I've been performing on stages?
Yeah.
2 years, maybe?
Oh, yeah, you're just a baby.
I'm a baby. I've been playing the harp for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's, yeah, I know. And yeah. Before that, I was just... full of self-doubt. I've loved music since I was a little girl. It's just one of the things that makes me happy to be alive. And for the longest time, I just was like, well, I'm not a musician, but I love music and I'm going to support musicians. And but I kind of had a wake-up call. I'm like, well, if you love something, life is really short. You just have to make space for it. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what you do with it. What matters is that you're doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, yeah. We don't really know each other that intimately yet.
No, not yet.
So you don't know that I almost died once. Mm-hmm. I had a near-death experience. And that, I mean, that is a whole other story in and of itself. But that's really what got me... to really commit to performing and doing art and really like
wow.
doing all of that because I realized like we don't have much time.
We don't
know when that time is up. Do everything you want to do now.
Yeah. Why wait?
Yeah.
Or why feel like you it's too late?
Yeah.
Like I missed that boat. We missed the boat for what? Like rent a harp. Play the harp. Like, doesn't matter. Like,
yeah, I think anytime that I've, you know, told myself I'm too late for whatever, I've kind of just eventually I ended up doing it and I realized, like, I wasted so much time thinking it was too late when I really didn't, I never was. You know, people can be like, yeah, people can be like, you know, in the last, like, decade of their life, starting a new skill and like rocking it, you know, like it's never too late.
It's like my grandmother learning French.
Yes.
She's turning 92 in April.
Wow.
And she bought a little cottage up in northern New Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a little Acadian fishing village.
Adorable.
I set her up on Duolingo. She has a little iPad that she's like, whenever she sends people Facebook messages or emails, they're like haikus. It's like, hello, I hope you are doing, and like space, 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 like enter, all the way down, like period, period, comma, well.
She do like my mom often will, well, she doesn't do this anymore, but when she was starting out on social media, she definitely like signed off like mom, like love mom.
Like my grandmother still does that.
Yeah.
Barbie. Or she like write messages, but like they're wall posts. So everyone sees them. And I don't know if she,
It's just like one of those things that's really adorable. And you can never really like, you don't want to even bring it up because you'd never want her to stop.
No, that's it. And I mean, dang, like if I have the luck to make it to 92, like I can only hope that I'll be that with it or like that with the like.
Okay, fast forward, you're 92. What does that look like?
Oh my gosh. I have two harps. I don't know. 92. I don't know. The only thing I hope is I'm just happy that I haven't become completely jaded or.
I don't know if that might be a high goal.
That's a big goal. That's a big goal. So I don't even care if I'm with the technology. I just.
Do you think you'd run away to a fishing village?
Nah. I mean, maybe actually.
I could see you in the middle of nowhere.
I like that.
Nice little fishing village.
I like people. And I mean, there are plenty of people up there, the Acadians. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I think as I get older, I want to go back to being in the countryside more and more. I'm like, oh, these people. Like, oh my God, driving a car with me. I'm a pretty, like, gentle person. But I mean, like, what are you doing? Oh, get out of the.
Do you love road raging in French? Because I do.
No, I in Italian.
Oh,
is I feel like sometimes that comes out just like
yeah. How many languages do you speak? Because you studied linguistics.
Yeah, I speak 7 languages.
Wow,
I'm a nerd. Yeah,
yeah, that's
big
great.
Language nerd. But like, yeah, I was telling you earlier that I lived in Rome when I was 18 for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, driving in Montreal for me, someone coming from Vermont is like nutso, but Rome was just like total chaos and everyone's like opening their cars and yelling at the one, ah, ma va fa un culo, vai, stronzato, it's a lot of
So if you road rage anywhere, that's the place to go.
I'm a very polite road rager. I like literally like shook my finger at someone the other day, like a nana. I'm like, no. It's like,
that's fantastic.
Like, gotta leave the city. Hate people. And then go back to Vermont and you get to a 4-way intersection and like, everyone's like, no, you go. No, I insist. It's like,
yeah.
Such a different world.
What was your life like in Vermont?
In Vermont?
Yeah.
Well, peaceful. Mm-hmm. It's very chill. There's a really different rhythm in Vermont. Things go slower. But there's still so much. Like, it's very vibrant. And for a rural area, it's very progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I grew up in a town of 8,000 people, which is the capital city.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of the big town in the region. It's ridiculous. It's so small.
Well, like, so I also grew up in a similarly sized town. Mm-hmm. So Perth is like 6,000. And it's also one of the bigger towns around. But it's, I can't imagine it's quite like where you grew up.
I'm probably a little different. Yeah. I mean, Montpelier, for a town of 8,000, has so much going on. So much music, so many musicians, and so many artists.
Oh, yeah.
Poets.
Bread and Puppet Theater.
Oh, yeah. Oh. That's just up Route 14. It's not far.
How many times do you think you have gone to see the Bread and Puppet?
Oh, I have no... How many hairs do I have on my head? I'm like, I have no idea.
You are so lucky.
Oh, my God. I am well aware. And I think it's important to go now. It's Peter Schumann, the man who started it all. He's still, you know,
he's still baking bread. He's still.
Yeah. But it's like, I mean, every year we're all like, well, we don't know, this could be the last year. And then it's not. And he continues like climbing on his stilts for another 10 years. No, he's off of his stilts. He said,
yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah. I've only been once, and it was
really?
A few years ago. I had known about it. since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I'd wanted to go since I was a kid. I don't think I ever even told my parents I wanted to go. I think I was just like quietly in my head, like, someday I'll go.
And you made it.
And I made it.
What was your, what did you see? How did you feel?
It was so much fun. I made some friends at French school when I first came here. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, we're going to go to Bread and Puppet Theater. Do you want to come? I was like, yes!
Yes.
So they brought me. And it turns out that when the time that I went, the Zambian circus was like going through. And these guys were just like incredible acrobats, and they would just do backflip after backflip after backflip off of another one. And it was, so it was like, there was like the Bread and Puppet amazingness of that. And then there was also the Zambian circus.
Zambian circus.
What? It was so great.
And there's always something at Bread and Puppet.
Yeah. And it was incredibly magical. I remember losing touch of my friends, and, I wasn't really that sure where I was. I was just kind of like wandering around the property, the neighborhood area. And I realized that I needed to like start getting back. And then this like little short hippie bus that was like painted up and full of like lovely, friendly hippies just pulled up and was like, hey, do you want to ride? Yes. And then I imagine they like brought me to where everyone else was being congregated, and then I like, it turns out that they knew my friends, and then it was just so so lovely, so magical.
That sounds about right. That sounds like,
and I feel like coming from that place where there's just magic, I feel that influence in your music. I hear that magic. It's coming through.
Well, thank you. And yeah, Vermont has a very particular kind of magic. I'm super grateful to have grown up in Vermont and to still be able to go back and connect with the community there and my family there and my friends and my dog.
Oh, what kind of dog do you have?
Golden Retriever.
My mom just got a Golden Retriever. So I grew up with Golden Retrievers.
They're the best.
They're very lovely. And my mom just got a Golden Retriever that is rapidly growing. She was a puppy not long ago, I think in
they
August.
Yeah, they get so big.
She's so big now, but she still loves being held. And like she'll like hug you, but she's big now. So so it's a little tricky, but she loves it.
We've always had Goldens too, and not this one, but the last one we had, Fenway, would, yeah, like that never ended. He was big for a Golden, like he was a huge dog.
And they get pretty big.
And like this guy, his front paws were like shovels, huge. And yeah, that never stopped. His entire life, he was still a lap dog, or he just thought he was a lap dog. He was huge, just climb up. And you're sitting on a chair, and you're just hugging this big old dog.
Weighted blanket and, like, also a body pillow all in one.
I snuggled in them, like, my entire childhood. Like, he would go, not just, like, on top of my bed. He would go, like, next to me, under my covers, and sleep there all night. And I would be, like, spooning him, like, hugging him. It was like a big, warm teddy bear.
Aww.
Like... Ah, they're so good.
Yeah.
I wish I could have a dog here.
Mm. Yeah, I guess you've already got a few cats, so there might be issues there. Maybe not.
But just the apartment doesn't allow dogs.
Oh, no. That happens so much.
It's such a thing in Montreal.
It's such a thing. That's why everybody has cats, which I'm not upset
cats
about.
Cats are great. Love cats. And every now and then, I'll take care of my dog. And he gets along super well with the cats. It's like, because he grew up with cats. We have cats at home, too. My dog, Brady, is in an interspecies homosexual relationship with one of our cats. And it's very sweet, because every time Brady's away, when he comes and stays with us in Montreal or isn't around for whatever reason, every time he comes back to my mom's house, it's just like... full on love. butts and faces and snuggles and him sleeping on top of the dog and just like rolling around in the dog and like licking each other and my dog's humping the cat sometimes. And then you're just like, oh. But he doesn't reach, so it doesn't work. But it's still just like... It's really sweet.
That's amazing.
It's I've never seen that.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it's so cute. And like they really are inseparable. And it's not all the cats, it's just one cat.
Yeah, they're very much in love.
And we had another golden before him at the same time, so it's not even like a it's this just cat likes dogs. It's like
it's this cover. Cat and this dog love each other.
Love each other so much. It's
heartwarming.
It's the best.
So that was beautiful, and you do have your own very unique style of playing harp. How did you come across that? I guess just influences.
Yes, definitely. I am so endlessly grateful for the amazing musicians that have kind of flooded my ears over the years. And there are some harpists in particular that, you know, really I draw a lot of inspiration from them. I've studied with them. Maeve Gilchrist is one. She's half Scottish, half Irish, grew up outside of Edinburgh.
So she knows harp.
She's amazing. She's so amazing. I idolize her maybe too much. She's so amazing. Everyone in the harp community kind of idolizes her, but
that's really amazing that you got to study with her.
Oh, yeah, I study with her every year because she lives in New York, and it's... She teaches at a camp up in Maine called Acadia Trad School, which is a really special place. And it's very rare that traditional music camps offer harp instruction. And
yeah.
Not only harp instruction, but like such an amazing instructor like Maeve. And Michael Rooney is another harpist that I really, really love from Ireland. And Katrina Mackay. They all play with a lot of groove. And Leisha Kelly, another Irish harpist, they play with a lot of bite and groove, and I'm really inspired by what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that's like from, I'm not someone who's like really delved into the harp world that much.
God, you're not alone.
Yeah, so I think it's pretty common to say that a lot of us imagine like, oh, well, we think of harp, we think like very relaxing and soothing, and it is, but it's not just that.
Harp often gets put in a box. It's like either you're an angel or like a fairy, and you do a lot of or you play like very slow, beautiful music or classical music, or you're in the orchestra. And I mean no disrespect to any of those ways of playing the harp, because it's beautiful and I do mm-hmm. that. Like I love playing just simple, relaxing music or playing for yoga classes.
Harp yoga?
Yeah, yeah. I want to do more. I haven't been doing much recently, but I mean, it fits. The harp really lends itself to that sort of music, and it's beautiful, and you can create such beautiful music that way. But it's a color palette. Like, there's all of these colors on the harp, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be limited to just, like, angelic fairy music. Mm-hmm. You can get weird. You can really go there.
Like, yeah.
And you can kind of get more percussive doing this. You know, you can do whatever.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, like Tom Waits or Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, like when the first time that we actually spent any time together, I remember you were showing me how your harp worked, and that there were these little like tabs at the top that
the
you
levers,
could
yeah.
change to the levers to reflect like what key you want it to be in.
Yeah.
And it's also multiple octaves. So
yeah.
Then we decided to just play around with that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, and you can just, I'll do it right now. You can just kind of like put things whatever way. And then it sounds like this. Oh. Yeah.
It's super fun.
It's so fun. It's never ending.
Yeah, I remember we like improvised a song that I think it was in like G, C, and D.
All at the same time.
All at the same time.
It really, you can explore on this instrument. And I think maybe it's just because I'm delving deeper into the harp and I'm kind of seeking out the harpists. And the harp just sticks out to me now. I'll listen mm-hmm. to a movie, like a soundtrack, and like, a film score, just like, oh wow, there's the harp, or any song. But I do feel like it's becoming more prevalent, and mm-hmm. maybe there's sort of a renaissance happening.
I hope so. It's a good renaissance to have.
Oh yeah, and I mean, there. Well, people who are listening to this can't see, but I play a lever harp, which is smaller than a pedal harp, an orchestral harp. And a lot lighter and a bit of a different sound, but I really like it, and it's much more accessible. Like,
weight. And it has underglow.
You mean like the light?
Yeah, it
on
has.
It?
Yeah,
yeah. Underglow.
I know that it's not what it is. It has a very specific function, so you can like see what you're playing in the dark.
But yeah.
It's lit up. That's cool.
Yeah, it's practical, but also like very fun.
Yeah.
But a harp like this is, I mean, it's still an investment. Any instrument, it's going to be an investment, but it's, I could buy like 5 like harps like this for the price of 1 pedal harp.
Whoa.
If not more. And like, they're so heavy and they're beautiful and they're different, but it's cool that there's been a resurgence of more folk style harps.
Mm-hmm. It's more like accessible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if every, or like, yeah, I guess like keyboards. But, oh, that's an awful comparison. No. Or, like, imagine instead of the guitar, those, like, 12-foot-long lutes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you would have to play that and, like, lug that around. And then someone's like, well, here's a guitar. And it's like, they're two different instruments. Yeah. They're both special and have their own things. But there are so many advantages to playing a guitar.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really cool seeing like all the different instruments that come up and yeah. and how much more accessible more and more of them are. I'm like still kind of holding like, you know, fingers crossed that eventually I'll get a hurdy-gurdy.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also very expensive. I mean, and
yeah, they're very niche.
Which, very niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably not like a cheapo version of a hurdy-gurdy.
I tried. I looked. I found the cheapest thing that you can get. It was still like many thousands of dollars.
Oh, jeez.
To make it yourself.
Yeah, no. That's
it's not super accessible, but very cool.
There's a woman I met who plays the hurdy-gurdy.
Really?
In Montreal.
Can she come on the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I could find her. I have to find her. She's really, really lovely, and she's a beautiful musician.
That would be great.
Yeah, I just got to find her. Okay. I'm going to put that on my to-do list. Find the hurdy-gurdy woman and bring her in for a podcast with Nikki. On it.
Yeah. Also, note to self, maybe write a song called Hurdy-Gurdy Woman.
Yes. Also on it. Maybe write a song called Hurdy-Gurdy Woman with the Hurdy-Gurdy Woman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. On a hurdy-gurdy.
It's just hurdy-gurdies all the way down.
Oh, my gosh.
Kaleidoscope of hurdy-gurdies.
It would be so good. They're such great instruments.
They really are. I saw, like, a video of someone who had an electric hurdy-gurdy.
What?
And we was doing, like metal, like hard metal on a hurdy-gurdy. It was so cool. So cool.
They're like electric harps too.
Yeah.
And there's one that like you hold down kind of like a guitar.
Oh, neat.
I recommend checking out a classical harpist from Russia mm-hmm. named Sasha Boldachev.
Oh yeah.
Alexander Boldachev. Have you heard of him or?
I'm sure I'm not as well-versed as you are, but yes.
He's amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah. So.
So this next song has a story.
Yes. 3 years ago, I had an incredible, incredible experience, an opportunity to go to Ireland and Scotland and Brittany and Western France to study the harp and just to explore and get a feel for it. And that's my heritage. I'm half Irish and then half Scottish / Breton, like from Brittany and France. Mm-hmm. So it's like the first time I'm visiting like where I'm from in a way.
Yeah. It's a bit of a pilgrimage.
It was incredible. It was... Every freaking day was a ridiculous, like, ridiculous coincidence. Like, the day I arrived, I flew into this small airport in Ireland, the Shannon Airport. So already off the beaten path. I had to take two buses and a taxi to get to this minuscule, little bitty town right on the ocean where I was going to be studying harp for a week. It was a traditional Irish music festival. I also forgot to mention that as I was flying into Ireland at 6 a.m., there were, I've said literally so many times tonight, but there were literally rainbows over Ireland, like with like the sideways yellow light of the dawning sun and rainbows.
Oh my goodness.
And it's like, whoa. So that, so I'm like in that state. I arrive in this little town and I go into the city center to register for the harp classes to sign up. And I see this man there, this young man who's striking. And it's a strange feeling because I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm so far from everything, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I know him. I know him. It's not just like I've met him before, maybe, but like, is he my cousin? Did we go to school together? Like, what is this? And we start talking, and he has the exact same feeling about me. So we're starting to be like, okay, what's going on? So we try. We're just like, okay, do you know this person? No. Have you done this thing? No. And he lives in Edinburgh, and I'm in Montreal, and I hadn't been to Scotland at that point. And like, we really couldn't figure out what was going on, and mm-hmm. we were just about to give up when he remembered that 3 years prior, he was in the States traveling around, going up the East Coast, and he went up to Montreal for a short stay, like very, just a quick little pat, like in out in Montreal, mm-hmm. and he went to a contra dance. It's like a type of traditional like dance from New uh-huh. England. And we danced together.
Oh my goodness. What are the odds?
And the fact that we both remember, like, you dance with so many people every night at a contra dance. And I've contra danced, especially in that like part of time of my life, I was just contra dancing several times a month. Like,
wow. You had a strong contra dance.
Yeah. I was really into it for a while. I'm still into it. I went to a contra dance this weekend, but
oh, nice.
Definitely not to the same degree. yeah, but that we both, because you look into each other's eyes quite a bit when you're dancing.
Yeah. And did you, so then when you realized this connection, did you maintain contact with this yeah. person?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah, he was such an important person to meet. Because not only was that just like an instant feeling of security and safeness that like I'm here in this new place, but there's this mm-hmm. person. Like that, it just felt really good. He was wild camping and hitchhiking, and it made me feel more comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. And he introduced me to all these amazing people. And I ended up going and staying with him at his place in Edinburgh.
Whoa.
He lived in this old farmhouse filled with like all these kooky artists and activists and
beautiful.
And I just met friends of his that I stayed with Dublin, and the following year he actually was coming to Vermont to study accordion with my old accordion teacher. So he stayed with my grandma. and this
he
summer,
stayed with your grandma?
No. It was we like had a big solstice party at my friend's place.
Your 92-year-old grandma?
It was. And this summer, he came back, too. He flew into Montreal and stayed at my place with me for, like, a week. Mm-hmm. And then, by bicycle, he went from Montreal all the way up around the Gaspé Peninsula, the Gaspé Peninsula, and then into New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island.
Whoa.
And then, like Nova Scotia, Halifax, and then Maine, biked all the way back to Maine. And then he got a car and drove to Colorado. He met up with his girlfriend there. But,
whoa.
But, like, I was also traveling in the Maritimes that summer.
Oh, my God.
So, like, we would meet up on the road a few times.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, like, yeah, he's, like, become super, like, a friend and someone who, like, yeah.
Some of your, like, family, you know, heart family.
Yeah.
It's... That's amazing.
And that's not even the story for this tune. It just kind of came out. I hope we have time.
Okay, so then...
that's not even the weirdest story.
Oh, it gets more weird?
Can I tell one more story
yeah.
from that trip?
Okay. Yeah.
So another story from this trip. I was way up in northern Scotland, and... I was hitchhiking and wild camping. That's what I was doing up there for like a month. It was amazing and hard, but wonderful. And I was going to take a boat to the Outer Hebrides when I saw this little sign that said Assent County Highland Games. And so this little freaking town called Loch Inver, 2 hours north of where I was, maybe an hour, I can't remember, but it was a ways up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it'd be so cute to go to Highland Games in some like small Scottish town. And the boat was leaving at 5:30 and it was 5. And I'm like,
oh.
And I was like, well, I'm just going to go. And I looked on Couchsurfing because there weren't many hosts in Northern Scotland. So I was just pitching my little like rainbow festival tent that I bought for £15. So ridiculous. Lived in it for over a month.
Whoa.
A good purchase. But I looked on Couchsurfing, and in this little town, there were two hosts. And I was like, just wrote to both of them thinking nothing would come of it. And they both accepted me.
Aww.
And so I stayed at night with both of them just because they're lovely. And yeah. But one of the families, I had written a little message like, hi, like I'm studying harp and I'm just traveling around, blah, 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 blah. Wanted to go to the Highland Games. The guy responds and he's like, oh, yes, a harpist. Like, maybe you've heard of my aunt. Her name's Wendy Stewart. And, like, rewind to, like, a year before that, or, like, a year and a half before that. Mm-hmm. I was in a traditional music class at McGill where we had to do something participatory. And we would have, required listening assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a harp track that was so beautiful. It was a Robert Burns song, iPhone Kiss, that was just so inspiring. And my childhood dream was to play the harp. I didn't say that, but I just didn't think it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
I was so moved by this harpist's track. And then I saw that there was group lessons at a school of Irish music for harp
mm-hmm.
in Montreal. And that harpist who inspired me to that degree was Wendy Stewart, this guy's aunt.
Oh my goodness.
And so I stayed with them, and she lives in the south of Scotland, so I didn't get to meet her, but I got to play on her like 50-year-old harp or whatever that she learned on.
That's amazing.
And they were playing tracks from her new album, which I hadn't heard yet.
Ooh.
And it's so weird because like they had one of these players that display the name of the song, like, and then I look over and it just says Marie Hamilton. Like my name, I-E, like M-A-R-I-E-H-A-M-A-L-T-O-N.
What?
One of the names of the tracks on this album was my name. It's my full name.
Wow.
Because there
is. Do you know why?
There's an old ballad called Mary Hamilton. Like mm-hmm. Joan Baez sings it and a bunch of people. It's old, I think, English ballad, British ballad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always with a Y.
Mm-hmm.
It's always Mary Hamilton. But this time it was Marie. Like,
whoa. What are the odds?
That's so weird. And on top of that, I know.
There's more?
It's ridiculous. So the night before the Highland Games, there was a session, so people were playing music in the pub in this little town in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there, I'm listening, it's really lovely. And they start playing a Quebecois tune. I recognized it, and I was like, oh, wow. I turned to this random young woman sitting at the table next to my table.
Mm-hmm.
No idea why I did this. It's like, I just turned to her and say, I live in Canada. A weird thing to say. And her response was, well, I know someone who lives in Canada, not even Quebec, just like Canada. And I'm just like, who is it? Lol. And then she says, Laureen, oh my God, Dargonzali Dazan Garli. Oh, I forgot how to pronounce, I forgot what her last name is exactly. But she says this Laureen. I'm like, I know her, not from traditional music, not from that scene. She studied with my friends in St. Anne de Bellevue at the McDonald campus, like
oh my goodness. What?
And this person grew up with Laureen in Paris. They grew up together.
Whoa.
And she was just traveling around in Scotland with her boyfriend. They were staying in a town like an hour away. They just happened to pop into this town, like...
and you happen to know the same person. That's amazing.
Every day of that entire trip was just fucking crazy.
Just magic. All over the place. It was rainbows
just,
everywhere.
It was just like everything was like, you're on my path. Like,
yeah.
Keep on doing this. Don't stop. Like,
absolutely.
This is a good thing.
I find that is like whenever I'm on the right path in my life, when I'm doing the right thing, things just fall into place like that. Yeah. And there's all those serendipitous moments. And the more of those you have, the better you feel about the way that you're going. And you know, it's so confirming because you know that it's the right thing.
And it's almost spooky. You're like, what the? This. And the coincidence that just kept on happening, I was just like, at a certain point, I was just like, oh yeah, of course, like, you know, Laureen, like,
of course, why not?
It was so bizarre. It was so bizarre.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm so excited to be broadcasting your beautiful music, all the fairy songs to all the people.
Thank you for inviting me to be part of this. It's fun. I've never been on a podcast before.
Ooh, well, there's a first time for everything.
I love podcasts.
It's really great. What are some of your favorite podcasts?
Oh my gosh. Have you been watching? Listening to the Dolly Parton podcast?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It's by one of the guys that does Radiolab.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So good. And it's also led me down a rabbit hole to listen to Cocaine and Rhinestones.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about the history of country music, and it's really well done.
I haven't actually listened, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put that on my list.
If I started listing off, I'm such a podcast, like...
I haven't been listening to podcasts as much recently, but I used to work at a job where I kind of just needed to constantly listen to something stimulating so I wouldn't die. Yeah. And so I would spend my entire 8-hour shift just listening to podcasts. Yeah, we got Sid and Moo here.
Oh my gosh, resident such a cats. Loud purr. Yeah, I find that really great, when I'm cooking.
Yes.
Or when I'm cleaning.
Absolutely. Doing the dishes, cooking. Yes.
It makes me want to do chores because, I only will listen to those, to podcasts if I'm in transit or doing chores.
Yeah.
Oh, playing the harp with its tail. With its tail.
Did you hear that?
I did. One time, when I first got this harp, I went and visited some friends at this camp in the middle of the woods in Maine, and I was showing my friend the light, so we went into this really dark, cabin, and I turned on the lights, and a little moth came up to my harp, and because it was attracted to the lights, and it was beating its wings, and it was making a little sound kind of like this.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was such a beautiful moment.
Harps bring the magic.
Oh my gosh, that cat is bringing the magic.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you to the library where we record our podcast series. Please share, subscribe. Check out our Patreon page for more content. And I'll see you next week.